Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:27 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 22nd. And if we look at, just take a quick look at the World Equity Index page, then we can see quite clearly that it's been a reasonably quiet day. But there have been fireworks in the biotechnology sector. The S&P is pretty much unchanged today, the Nasdaq down just a tad. And part of the reason is that we're having a rotation. There is some very clear rotation going on. That, for example, when we look at some of the really high-flying shares, and I'm going to just take Nvidia because it has been the one where there has been such an enormous amount of very bullish stories coming out about it. Whether they are entirely justifiable at this current price is another question entirely, but it has paused at the very minimum. At that, there was a very clear downward dynamic. Obviously, that's also a downside key reversal at the the 9th of June, and no downside follow through. But it has certainly contributed to a pause in the market. Meanwhile, the Nasdaq Biotech Index is breaking up and out of what has been a six-month range, and this is an emphatic breakout at this stage. It is consecutive days on the upside this week, and this is the fourth one of those. So this has been a very emphatic advance. There, the biggest three shares on the index are now beginning to participate in this move. As I've mentioned in a number of posts on Comment of the Day, but also in the audio, is that it's being led higher by the immuno-oncology sector. And Amgen, which is the largest share in the index, is firming within what has been a 2.5-year range. And it continues to look like that it is going to go up and at least test that $180 level. And if it can break on the upside, well, then that's going to be the completion of a very lengthy range. Celgene is the second largest share on the index, and that is now breaking up and out of this most recent range and also approaching its peak. But the real one that is, I think, setting imaginations alight is Gilead Sciences, because it halved between 2015 and this week. And that is a pretty impressive upper dynamic. It is now testing the region of the trend mean, but it has broken the progression of lower rally highs evident since the beginning of 2016. And that was a rivetingly consistent downtrend, which is now losing form. There is the potential that we're going to get some short covering coming in here. And there is, of course, the ETF effect. If we look at, for example, the IBB iShares Nasdaq Biotech ETF, then it has a market cap of $9.36 billion, and when we look at the constituents of the index, then you've got Celgene, Biogen, Amgen, and Regeneron, and they command their net values are 8%, 8%, 8%, 7.75%, and 7.5% for Gilead. So, taking the five of those together, we are creeping up on upwards of 40% of the index. And if money is flowing in, well, then it's going to be allocating money based on how the weightings are structured within the sector. And that's how it's going to, that's where the money is going to flow, at least from some of those ETFs, ETF investors. So that is part of the reason you're getting this strong commonality now starting to come through. And that there is increasing evidence that we're getting this rotation into the biotech sector. And it makes sense that biotech had a big pullback. It spent a year ranging. It spent another 6 months on top of that ranging again. And now it's returning to perform. And relative to something that is way overextended on the upside, then the risk is less. That's really quite simple. That's something that's very easily programmable into a computer interface. So that is, I think, perhaps at least contributing to the position of outperformance we're now seeing the biotech sector acquiring. Now, there is a rather large event happening tomorrow. It's the reweighting of the Russell indices. That's an annual event. Historically, it hasn't contributed to a great deal of volatility, but it is probably worth looking at the Russell, because it has been largely range-bound, albeit with mild upward bias, since really the beginning of December. It failed to hold the breakout to new highs. And if we look at that range, this is the third failed upside break. And if you remember from the chart seminar, I know that there's a significant majority of subscribers have attended over the years, then failed upside breaks tell us that there is a surfeit of supply above the market. More than any other factor, a range is an explosion waiting to happen because it's a decision-making process, and the longer it goes on for, the more that people are inclined to make decisions. But if we're getting failed upside breaks, it tells us that there, the vacuum of supply above the market has not formed. And that holds out the question whether a vacuum of demand has formed below the lower side of the range, around the 1350 area. There is going to be a significant reweighting of the index tomorrow, so that will likely have some sort of influence on how ETFs, and of course there is such an enormous amount of money now in these passive structures, that it will contribute to some reordering within the index. I think that it is really worth keeping an eye on this, though, because we are having these failed upside breaks, and it has been ranging for long enough to have unwound the overextension relative to the trend mean. So if it were to break below the trend mean, and that would represent a significant questioning of what has been a very consistent advance since the beginning of 2016. So I think that is just something to be alert to. Then when we take a somewhat a broader picture, the DAX index, which has been the clear outperformer, has also been largely range-bound for much of the last couple of months, but there is certainly an upward bias within that range, and it did firm somewhat in here today. There is also the more medium-term consideration that it is quite overextended relative to the trend mean, so it is not beyond the bounds of possibility that we could get a somewhat larger pullback over at some point over the next couple of months, but the European indices have really been quite firm. And because there is still this uncertainty about, and I think that when we think about what's going to happen with the currency markets, if the certainly we already have evidence that the Fed is raising interest rates and the ECB is not, but if the Fed then goes forward and begins to shrink its balance sheet, regardless of by how little it starts off with, that's against a background where the ECB is massively increasing the size of its balance sheet. That alone should contribute to some dollar strength. So, and I think it is perhaps more instructive to look at it on the dollar index and over a weekly basis. The dollar is quite oversold, and even in a bear market environment, there is the potential for an unwinding of the short-term overbought condition, and I think that that is what is looking likely at this stage. It's going to have to do more, though. It will have to at least sustain a move above the trend mean, and I think most particularly above that psychological 100 level to confirm that we are back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the very short term. Oil prices steadied a bit in here today, and I think it would be an exaggeration to say anything more than that. They were not able to hold the high of the day and closed out much closer to that $45 area, which represented an area of support back in November, and indeed in September. But because we have this rivetingly consistent progression of lower rally highs since the beginning of May, that at least would have to be broken to confirm that support is coming back in here. And I think the most convincing evidence that we could have is that we get upward dynamics similar to what we saw in late November, early November, late September, and even in the middle of August. We had very clear upward dynamics, and those were worth betting on, that there were short-term oversold conditions, and then the bounce occurred, and we got a substantial bounce. And considering that oil prices have pulled back by $10, and $10 represents a fairly substantial pullback. We're even starting to hear people now talking about a bear market because oil has fallen by 20%. But considering that this is an incredibly volatile range, that's a nonsense statement. That even the fact that people are beginning to even talk about this being a bear market, because it has fallen 20% over the last couple of months, that seems to be not having any real conception of where we are in the market cycle. I think anyone who was thinking that oil was in a bull market before it pulled back sharply over 3 weeks has obviously got no conception of what the market has been doing. This enormous pullback that we saw in 2014 represented a very clear bear trend, and this represents a volatile range and nothing more than that. It really would be a stretch to say that oil is back in a bull market, even if we hadn't had a pullback of 20% in the last 4 weeks. This represents a very volatile environment, and that's what we're likely to have for the foreseeable future. But you are going to continue to get these kinds of headlines. But what does that do? It tends to be deleterious to sentiment. And we know there's a lot of shorts in the market because the market has pulled back so sharply. We also know that there was a lot of hedging activity going on at the beginning of the year because the spreads between the near and the far months were so tight, and that's indicative of people bidding up the price of the near month and selling out on the short month, so really playing the spreads. So what that is also contributed to is this fact that there are a significant number of unconventional suppliers can now produce with abandon because they've locked in prices close to $60, and despite the fact that prices are close to 45 right now, that's contributing to this short-term oversold condition. But oil is a global commodity. It is one of the most geopolitically influenced commodities there is. So we can't rule out the possibility that there's going to be some form of action that could drive the price higher from here. The key to trading a range is that they're best bought following pullbacks and they're best sold following rallies. And this has been a substantial pullback, so this is not the time to be betting that prices are going to fall even further, but rather to watch and wait for an upward dynamic because that's likely to represent at least a short-term peak, and we could get a short, sharp rally before prices start to roll over again. And this very volatile environment is something that we have seen for much of the last decade in natural gas. And I continue to think that natural gas represents the closest analog for what we can anticipate from the oil market, that we are going to be in a very choppy, rangy environment for the foreseeable future, that there is ample supply, and we are in a fairy tale world in the absence of a clear geopolitical risk for anyone who thinks that prices are going to sustain and move above 60 within at least the next year, at least until we see some of those hedges beginning to roll off. And interestingly enough, natural gas prices have also begun to pull back here. There was an interesting statistic I saw in the last couple of days, and it was that the USA's reliance on offshore gas and oil has decreased as a total over the last decade. So, despite the fact that we've been a decade without a hurricane that's made landfall in the Gulf Coast, and that obviously increases the potential that this year we might get an event like that, but it's likely to have less of an influence on prices. Obviously, there will be some influence on prices, but it will not be the same kind of deleterious effect that, or I suppose, that's probably deleterious effect on shares, but it has obviously contributed to some quite substantial rallies in prices over the last decade. But that may not be in our future if we continue to see this ramp up in onshore supply. Gold prices have been pulling back and are pausing here in the region of 1250. They were not either able to hold their highs in here today, but the most consistent thing about the trend since the middle of December is that it has held its progression of higher reaction lows, and as long as it is doing that, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to ranging upside. When we take a step back, we look at some of the other markets out there. Taiwan is being led higher by two of its largest shares, which are TSMC and Hon Hai Precision. The index is breaking up and out of a 27-year range, and that is really quite that's not something that you can say very often. It's not every day that you get to say that something has completed a 27-year range, and this does suggest that we are back in bull market territory. And the Nikkei is continuing to hold around this 20,000 level. It was a little bit softer in here today, and I think it is worth keeping an eye to on the second section index, which is the small caps, because it does tend to lead, and it did break out this week. So that is quite positive. That would suggest that it is only a matter of time before the Nikkei also breaks on the upside. Of course, I think also a lot of people will be looking at what is likely to happen with the yen. And the yen has been reasonably steady. But if I'm correct in thinking that the dollar is due a bounce, well then it can also bounce against the yen. And as long as that 110 level holds, then the currency is unlikely to represent a headwind for the index. And India benefits, of course, from the weakness of the oil price, and it has been really quite steady. That since really the beginning of January, it has been one of the better performing emerging markets, and its reactions have been confined to reasonably similar sized pullbacks. It did not hold its highs in here today, so we might be in for just a somewhat lengthier pullback. And I think a lot of people will also be watching the rupee. The rupee rallied to break a very lengthy downtrend, but if the dollar is firming, then the Indians don't want the strongest currency in the world, and I think they're probably comfortable with the rupee being a little bit weaker if the dollar is in a strong it's got a strong tailwind behind it. So I think there is a lot going on out there, but I think one of the most important thing that's happening is that this rotation into biotechnology after what in fact has been a 2-year hiatus is perhaps the most important thing that's happening from the perspective of short-term investment opportunities and short to medium-term investment opportunities that's happened in quite some time. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.